Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at teresagreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Manny. I like your hat.
Yeah, thank you. I actually like it. Someone suggested blue and I was like, let's go with it. Well, now we're going with blue.
It's a pop of blue, pop of color. I like that.
Yeah, I always liked the little color.
Blue's my favorite color, so I like that.
Mm-hmm. I like, there's a few. I like colors that, I like color. Oh. I don't like neutrals and chantilly lace and all that crap, like really? Designing-wise, construction-wise.
But I would have a hard time believing that when I look at this.
There's lots of color here.
I like color. It all looks like neutrals to me. No,
in the studio, well, there's wood and there's blue, dark blue there. But then if I could have more Polaroids over there, I'd totally put more Polaroids over there. And a lot of the Polaroids have color.
Uh-huh.
So I do like color.
That's nice.
My work van was full of color. Had splashes of paint on the hood. I did it on purpose because I didn't want a white van with a sticker on the side.
Yeah.
I like color. Yeah, that's why when I started doing construction, all the clients didn't want to do color. I just walked away. Wasn't happy.
Especially in the wintertime here, I'm with you. I have a couple different colored coats now because I'm done with the black. I'm done. It's just like it's so gray outside.
It's
got to
be the number one color for coats in winter.
Yeah. Right? I mean, okay, fine. It covers the dirt, right? But I feel like I need something uplifting, and color makes you feel good.
Accessories are for scarves and hats and stuff. Hats, that's why. But what are we going to talk about today?
New Year's resolutions and starting.
Never made one in my life.
Starting off on the right foot.
Not a single one in my 53-year life.
Why is that?
Because I don't see the purpose in doing it. If you want to change something, change it. You don't have to wait to January 1st to do it. Mm-hmm. You want to change something, do it today. You want to quit smoking, do it today. You want to get healthy, do it today. Whatever date that is, that's why I've never done a New Year's resolution. Never understood them. Didn't mean have any meaning for me. Uh-huh. It made no sense. It was a Tuesday. It was a Wednesday when I started doing this. Or I can't remember exactly what day of the week it was that I went to go learn how to ride a motorcycle. Or I went to go do this. Or I went to go skydiving. Whatever. I didn't wait to a specific date that the collective decides this is what we're going to do. And like you were saying off mic, it takes 21 days. You think it's more 28 days to keep this New Year's resolution and make it a habit.
Yes.
But I don't know. I think you can, you just, like you've mentioned on other shows before, you go 1 minute, then you go 2 minutes, and then you go 3 minutes, and then you keep on adding it. Like anyone who's like, you tell people to do their push-ups in their age, right? Number. And then you can't make it the first time around, especially if you get older. You're 53. You're like, yeah, you never done a push-up in a few years. And now you go try to do a push-up. You can't make it at 53. But yet you'll get maybe three. Then you get 13. Then you get 23. Then you eventually get to 53. That's eventually what will happen.
Yeah.
So, but it just takes practice, right?
I agree. If you look at each day as a fresh new start, every morning, each day, a fresh new start.
You get to do this today.
Today. Because happiness is found in the present moment. Technically, there is only ever now because the past is gone. Even Einstein was like, and the rest of it's all, and the future is not even yet here. It's all an illusion. The present moment is only ever anything that you have any power over. And we're creating it moment by moment. You're creating your future moment by moment. So any day is technically a good day to start something new. But let's say you've put it off for too long, right? And now the collective says, okay, January 1st, brand new start. For the year, what kind of changes you want to make? What kind of changes do you
think? I want to lose a certain amount of pounds so then I can be ready for the wedding that's coming up in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So sure, that's a healthy goal because it's January and you've got a summer wedding to go to. Sure, you got 6 months to achieve that. And technically speaking, you can lose a pound a week. So there you go. You've got an opportunity to potentially lose 26, 27 pounds by the time the wedding comes around, if it's in the middle of the summertime, June or what have you, right?
Yeah.
That's a healthy goal. But no, people start on January 1st going, I want to lose 26 pounds by next week.
I know.
Then go Ozempic all you want and then go those dangers and do this and do that and do it extremes. You didn't gain all that weight or you
didn't. I know.
It took time to get into the situation that you're in.
Yes.
So it's going to take time to get out of that situation.
Yeah. And to build new habits. And so there are technically a lot of things against you to build new habits, which is why by February 2nd, most people have fallen off the wagon and the resolutions are out the window. And the people who all joined the gym, it's like, I see all these people joining the gym and all the classes are all full in January. And then by February, it's all the rest of us that were there again, the ones that were always there. And it's like, why? Why do people not stick with their resolutions? Why is it that they haven't formed new habits that allow them to stick? And happiness is a habit. Right? Because the world is constantly pulling us away, and that when you go back to work on Monday, it could be the same shit there, right? It's how we show up that makes a difference. And so you have to resolve within yourself to come back to your commitment, understand the why. What is the why behind you wanting to go and lose the 26 pounds? Maybe it is the sweating. Maybe it's because you have health challenges and you want to be around for your daughter's wedding one day. You want to see your grandchildren one day. It's like, what is the reason behind you making those changes, getting off your blood pressure medication, getting your blood sugar in check? What's the reason behind it? Because that's what we need to connect to. That's what helps us to remain committed to the changes that we want to make.
It's not about the weight loss.
No, it's about the why.
Why do you want the weight loss?
Or what exactly? Is it because you really long to find that perfect person and you know, you losing that weight maybe will make you more attractive? I don't know where you're at, but it's important for you to really get to the why behind why you're, because that's what's going to keep you committed. Otherwise, you'll fall off.
What are some other resolutions that people, I guess quit smoking would be one. Quit drinking would be another.
Getting rid of some of their addictions. Maybe being on their phone less.
Yeah. Digital cleansing. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But also maybe purging your friends, so-called friends. Uh-huh. The negative people in your life, right? The ones that are probably going to be egging you on, wishing that you do fail. That come February, I told you, why'd you bother signing up?
Yep,
maybe. Why'd you even give it a try? There was no reason to give it a try.
The reasons why you didn't stay committed to anything during the year, right? Maybe why you fell out of that course that you were taking, or why you didn't succeed in your business in particular ways. So making like little tweaks like that. But they say the best way for us achieving those things again is just doing 1% better or more, 1% more effort in that area every single day. I think putting systems into place is important too. So creating a calendar, because if you just say, well, I'll go to the gym. No. When are you going to the gym? Actually putting it in your calendar that I'm going at 6 o'clock in the morning. So that already puts it there, because if you don't, that 6 o'clock is going to get filled up with something else. And then you don't end up going to the gym. It's like the things that during COVID ended up going to the wayside because we're at home and we're not going out. And next thing you know, people are like 50 pounds heavier and they're binging on Netflix. And now they're unmotivated to do, you know,
distractions.
And going towards like your goals and aspirations for yourself. Like, what are those?
Why do you think the majority of people give up on chasing their dreams?
I think it's because we're living on autopilot. That
we're letting someone else fly?
No. Autopilot means that you're just going through life totally unaware. It's just wake up, eat, sleep, repeat. And you're not consciously aware of what you're doing moment by moment, not recognizing that you are creating the life you are living with every single choice that you make throughout the day, and that people aren't mindful. Mindfulness is where you tune into the present moment with all of your senses. So it's like, what am I seeing with my eyes? What am I hearing with my ears? What do I smell with my nose? What am I tasting? But even when people eat, it's like they're like, I watch my kids. I'm like, you wolf that food down. I'm like, did you even taste it? And it's like they're on their phone. They're looking at videos. They're like totally distracted. When I eat, I'm like paying attention to my food. When I'm drinking my morning coffee, which you know I love so much, oh no, I'm like tasting every sip of that. When I eat my food, I don't have any distraction. I'm not watching TV. I am there paying attention. I don't want to get to the end of my meal and say like, what did I eat? Did I even like it?
Enjoy it.
Totally enjoy it. Like the sensations of like whether it was crunchy, whether it was spicy, whether it was whatever, to say like if I'm going to spend half an hour eating this meal, I might as well appreciate it. So why aren't we appreciating every single moment that we're in? Like whatever it is that we're doing.
The fear of missing out, right? The whole FOMO crap where people want to know what's currently going on social media. I'm just saying that's the reason why. So yeah. Like I've seen it. I've seen you go downtown and you go to places like we've talked about before. You're in line. Everybody head down on their device.
Yeah.
They're the fear of what's going on in the world. What am I not? And I think that I've gotten to the point where it's like, I don't care right now. I really don't care. Like, and there's always going to be another big story of something happening. But who cares if you miss that story?
Yeah, because you're missing your own life. There they are at dinner with somebody and they're both on devices.
You're missing your own life. Yeah.
Right? You're not present to like what's happening right in front of you.
I mean, Ferris Bueller said it best. Like, if you're not careful, your life's going to just pass you right by. Yeah. It's true. And there was no devices back then.
I know.
And yet he was still, you know, sharing those words of warning.
Yeah.
Like that you're going to miss your own life. That's the fear. That's the real fear that you should be paying attention. Who cares who's the next celebrity that did what? Uh-huh. Who cares who's the next politician that did what? Who cares? I guarantee you next week there'll be another one and another one, and your life will not be better and you've missed it now.
Yeah. And you've missed time that you could have dedicated towards creating the life that you actually want for yourself. Going back to school, taking those courses, excelling at the things that you want to do, bettering your body, change, like instead of buying outside food, cooking your own, like really building that the greatest masterpiece that you will ever create in your life is you. You are supposed to be your greatest masterpiece.
I've seen this, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've seen this with my nieces and my nephew when they were younger and they just started getting their devices. They would be on it, using it, surfing, absorbing what's going on in the everyday world, right? What celebrity did this, all that crap, right? But the moment you ask them, because you're aware of that, there's a camera there, let's get a photo, a video, something that's going on right now, birthday party, holiday, whatever it is, they are frustrated by that action. They're not interested in doing that, but they want to continue surfing and finding out what's going on online. And I don't get it, because you've got the best technology right now to capture all these amazing moments that when you and I were younger, we needed a camera with a cube flash on it or a Polaroid. That's what we needed to capture a moment. And then we capture those moments. And then you can look back on those photo albums. The technology that the kids have today to create the memories that they will appreciate when they get older is just so profound. But they don't use it for that purpose. They use it to find out what's going on with complete strangers around their life, which has no value if you really look at it.
No, it doesn't.
So why not create this life of yours that you want?
So, and it's important to recognize that when you're using your device to capture those moments, so a strategy of happiness is savoring. Mm. Savoring is exactly as you would savor a meal, savoring something like, you know, a piece of chocolate, a fine spirit that you're drinking, a cigar that you're smoking, savoring the moment. Savoring the moment means that you're so present and you're there enjoying everything about that moment. So when Cecil on a past show said, okay, take yourself to like a moment of passion, I think
he clarity. Said
it. And so for me, it's like a moment where I was sitting on a beach on vacation, and I'm like on this lounge chair, and I'm on this like stretch of the beach where there happened to be no one around me, and I was there watching the water and so tuned into like the sound of the waves and the gulls, the seagulls, and the wind in that was going through, like just so present. And I was like, oh my God, if only I could just bottle this moment. It's because I was there savoring it so much. And so we often don't savor, right? That even if you were going to take a picture, you're to take a picture and then you're off to something else, off. And then you look back and you're like, well, what did I even do? It's because every moment is so fast. And I'm getting this a lot where many of us are saying, but does time seem to be flying even faster than ever before, that you get to the end of the week and you're like, what the heck? Like, how did that happen?
This week, yeah.
And life just feels like it's faster and faster. And I'm even getting students at school. Like I remember back in June, a grade like 10 years old, she said, geez, this year went by. I was like, what? Like kids tend to feel like life is always just standing.
I blame the devices.
And that because we're not savoring, we're not completely present and appreciating every moment, like moment by moment. And that's where you actually create memories. It's because you've savored certain parts of like whatever was happening. And that's what you can go back to.
It's funny that you were on the beach listening to the sound of the ocean and everything. I was on my motorcycle riding and completely just enjoying the moment, right? And that was a moment of pause. Like it was just a moment of calmness and everything. That's what I liked. And then it also brought up that a couple of weeks back, I recently got together for lunch with Phil from Heavy Duty and with Jonathan from People First, his podcast. And then we were having lunch up in Woodbridge area there. And then all of a sudden, Phil just said, you guys want to go to this cigar club? And I said, for sure. So we literally were sitting in this small place, just the three of us. It wasn't busy that particular time of day or what have you. And the three of us were having cigars and we were just savoring the day, savoring the moment. Mm-hmm. We were there for about an hour a bit and just enjoying the cigar and just shooting shit and just talking about what's going on. Simple as that. And that was like, I could do that once a week and find serious clarity out of it, right?
Yeah. And that's how we create memories, that our life is not us focusing on only the negative things that happened. But if you savor the positive things, then what happens is that it also creates part of this happiness toolkit, right? That you realize that, oh, wow, I really enjoy spending time with that person because I laughed so much, or we had some really like serious kind of heartfelt conversations that really touched a chord. It really meant a lot to me. When we savor and we find pleasure in that, then it allows you to identify what are those things that you can draw on that bring you back to your happiness. Because happiness is, like I said, the electricity that's flowing through all the walls in your house. It just means that you have to spend time plugging in to it to feel it. But if we're working 60 to 80 hours a week and we spend no time plugging in, then we're going to get to the end of the week and say, my life sucks. Yeah, it does. Because how much time did you spend plugging in to the happiness that's flowing through you all the time? But you're not aware of it. You're disconnected. You're misaligned.
Because we're too busy.
Too busy.
We have too much going on. If it's not the kids going to hockey, the kids going to training, if it's not me getting to work, if it's not me going grocery shopping, making dinner, figuring out what's for dinner, getting together with family functions, like we're too busy to actually stop and smell the roses.
But who's creating that busyness,
you
right?
You are, yourself, individually. Yeah. Each one of us is responsible for that. So that means each one of us is responsible for changing that.
That's right. And that's where, like when I said that I evaluate all the things on my list, and if something on the list is causing me more stress than it is joy, it's out.
That's so it,
why are parents putting their kids in endless activities? Because they don't want to actually hang out with their kids, because kids actually all they want is to hang out with you.
Do the parents do it just to keep their lives preoccupied?
I think
to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, that there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to say that what a good parent does, and a good parent puts them in activities. A good parent spends lots on birthday parties and has a lot of kids, and it has to have reptilia and all this. You see it on TV. It's like, oh, you're not a good parent unless there's a whole criteria of what you need to uphold.
Has any parent ever I'm assuming all your parents kind of hang out the same, and the children are relatively the same age groups.
Yeah.
So has any parent ever just said to the kids, listen, for the next 2 weeks, I'm dropping off in the woods here. Go survive for 2 weeks. And just give them the essentials to survive. Here's a bag. And it's got certain essentials to make a fire, build a fort, cut shit, stuff like that. Is that not more... Isn't that better than putting them in hockey camp or trying to compete with other parents?
Oh, no.
All or is that kids child endangerment or child abandonment or something?
Kids only want time with you. They only want time.
I know, but they'll go and then they'll come back and then they'll tell you everything that they
experience. They want you in the forest with them.
Any and not sensible doing parent will else. Actually be watching from the sidelines. Like they're going to be vision up in the tree and just making sure the kids are safe and crap like that.
Have
right?
you seen parents? I see parents with their kids and the parent is on their phone.
You ever see that black and white photo of the Russian moms leaving the babies outside in the dead of winter in their carriages while they go inside to get a coffee because they want to build the immune? You ever seen this picture?
No.
They used to do this all the time. And I don't know. I think that they still do it in Russia.
Uh-huh.
It's to build their immune system. They leave the babies outside, all bundled up in their stroller.
Yeah.
And then they're inside having coffee.
Uh-huh. But they're watching them.
They're watching them. So kick them into the forest. Let them go discover what they can discover out there.
Yeah.
And then go hunting rabbits or what have you. And then make a fire and cook and then survive. And they'll have lots of stories to tell when they get back.
Yeah. But you know why the kids wouldn't, I don't think, would do very well?
No devices,
they
by
have,
the way.
They have no coping or resiliency skills. So parents have been shielding their kids from any hardship and adversity because God forbid they should cry, because they're going to have psychological trauma later. So now even teachers in schools can't ask the kid to sit out because they're misbehaving out of the circle and say have a time out over there. Think about how you're behaving.
Getting suspended from school is the best. Because you did something wrong and then you get a few days off. It's as simple as that.
No, and it's like a treat for the kids. They're and the parent says, oh,
did
it's
I learn
okay.
my lesson?
It's okay. I will, mommy will take you for a McDonald's. We'll go have a nice
But if they don't, okay, so if they're saying that they do this, if you do this to them, they're going to have they're going to have trauma later on in life.
Yeah, because you ask them
and
to
I'm
sit
saying
out.
That if you don't do this, they're going to have trauma in life.
Yeah, right. Right, later on.
What kind
on.
Of adult later yeah. on are they going to become?
No. And so they're all getting triggered, right? And then they get canceled. First you're triggered, and then people get canceled because they can't do life, because in sports, there are no scores.
I've never met these people.
Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a ribbon.
I haven't met these people.
Because they don't want their children to have any upset. Meanwhile, not recognizing that life is hard and they're going to have a lot of upsets. And this is going to the detriment that kids are committing suicide with their first incident of heartbreak. So this year I know of a story, 16 years old. He launched themselves from the apartment balcony because his first girlfriend dumped him. Where they have no coping and resiliency skills because parents are shielding them from that. That is not setting your kids up for success. We need to be building, giving the kids tools. Sports is an excellent way of being able to do that, because if they don't win, they don't score, how do you pick yourself up off the ground, dust yourself off, right? You've fallen off the horse. You don't stay down there,
right?
You don't unpack your bags in the misery. Exactly. You get
fall
up.
Fall down seven times, you get up eight.
You figure out what you learned from that. Mm-hmm. That is failure, which, and I'm just saying this because I've redefined failure for me with all this work that I've been doing. Failure for me meant, Teresa, you're a loser. Teresa, you're never going to be able to do that. Teresa, you see, you're no good. Teresa, you're not smart enough. Teresa, you're not. It was all the negative and limiting beliefs that I've that people said things to me over the course of my life that then became like the old tapes and the negative self-talk in my head, and that every time I screwed up, it reverted to, you see, Teresa, you see? And those are the things that keep us held back. As you said, why don't people like achieve, go for their goals and aspirations? Because they have thought systems and beliefs that when they tried that the last time, they fucked up. When they tried that the last time, they lost money.
So that was about avoiding failure?
Uh-huh, exactly. Because you don't recognize that failure is only ever a learning opportunity. That's all it ever is. That if it didn't work out, what can you take away from that situation?
Do they not listen to their idols? The people that they look up to on social media, all the sports figures or their celebrities, and look up to them and realize that they've failed more times they've won?
No, they don't share. On social media, people only share all the things that are going well in their life.
I don't know about the new
it's
ones.
It's all fake.
But everyone knows about Jordan, how many times he missed his last game-winning bucket. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows about Gretzky and all the shots that he missed.
Uh-huh.
Like, they talk about those, but they're not paying attention to those. Or the new celebrities, the new sports celebrities nowadays, they don't talk about all their failures that got them to this point. They don't discuss that?
I don't know if they do or not.
It's kind of sad if they don't.
To be honest, I never had like any idols that were like that.
I never followed
sports.
Anyways, I didn't give a shit about it.
But I mean, sports is, I think, still one of those areas that kids can learn some of that, right? Especially because maybe in their idol, like sports idols, share that. But all the celebrities make it look like they have the perfect life. Everything is photoshopped. Look at me living the best life. And they don't talk about, you know, the shit that they're also going through, everybody has.
These kids don't realize that when they start seeing all these celebrity moments, sports or regular celebrities, or musicians or whatever it is, the years and years before that.
Yeah.
To achieve those moments. And the truth of the matter is that if they started following that celebrity at the very beginning when they were nothing and they were growing to get to that point of being something, they wouldn't follow them. They would find all those earlier posts extremely boring and unfulfilling. But they realize that you have to do all this shit to get to that. But I guess the majority of people today, these younger generation people, only want to achieve the goal. They want to get to the finish line before they want. But you need all this pain and suffering.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Doesn't matter who you are.
It's technically building you all up, but it's supposed to be teaching you something about yourself. That life every single day is showing you more about who you really are. In through the good stuff and the bad. And the bad is supposed to be showing you, maybe you need to go and get more training. Maybe you need to like refine this. Maybe you need to like spend more time practicing. Maybe whatever you can take away from the situation. That even, I can't remember which guest said about, you know, we're going to have mistakes in our life. I think it was Cecil. But we have to move past that. We have to take away the learning from it and try to be better the next time instead of shitting on ourselves for the rest of our life and thinking, oh, you know, I'm such a bad dad. I'll never be a good dad. That's a wrong way of looking at it. That everybody did the best that they could at that time with the knowledge that they had. I really believe that everybody is always doing the best they can do, even when the best isn't good. But they're doing the very best that they could at that time with the resources they had, with the information they had, with everything that they had at that moment. That even to see if I look back at my parents and how they parented me, that with and understanding their upbringing, that having those conversations with my parents really helped me to understand what helped mold them into the people that they are, that the parents that they could be. That my mom only went to school up to like grade 5, and that she had an abusive father. And so what kind of parenting skills did really my mom have? Which for me was just like smack, smack, smack every time I did something wrong, which for me, it was like, I was not going to parent like that, right? That I was going to have a toolkit of things, that hitting my kids was not going to be the be all and end all of discipline. Same thing with my father. My father left home at like 15 years old to like go in and go to school and then work in the north of Italy. And he left home. So also to say, you know, what made him into the man that he was, but also the father that he's been, is all because of like his childhood and the circumstances. So understanding that, I was like, they did the best that they could.
Our parents had an on-off switch for parenting. And it was either a smack or no smack. And that's how you learned, right? So if you did something wrong, you got a smack. I get it. I understand it that if you are a parent today, you're not going to smack your kids today. But look at the kids that are being brought up as a result of not being smacked. So I don't know if that's a good solution. And then it's going to make you wonder about those kids when they become parents. What are they going to do for their on-off switch of parenting? So are they just going to like holistically just talk it out? This is, I get it that you've been bullied or you're bullying. So I'm just going to talk it out with you. So I don't know if that's the right solution, right? I had two puppies. I smacked them. They did something wrong. I smacked them. That was as simple as that. That's me. And that's what I did. I don't have kids, so I don't know if I would have smacked them. I say that I wouldn't, but then I got smacked and I'm not a serial killer. Right. So I didn't get jaded or mentally whatever, but that's the on off switch from that generation. That's how they taught us.
But that was their tool. That's what was done for them. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, we have a choice. Every generation has a choice. Either you can say, oh, well, that's my genetics. So, you know, my family, I come from a long line of alcoholics. So of course I'm going to be an alcoholic myself. You know how many people say that? Because it's like, they have some excuse now to live the mediocre life that they're living, rather than saying, okay, I don't want to be an alcoholic because look at the effects of that, like, on the individual and the family. I want to be different. Everybody has a choice, right? So for me, I wasn't going to be the parent that my parent, like, to say I took the good aspects of what I appreciated from my parents, and the parts that I didn't appreciate it, I tried to show up differently. And I think that parents need to have a toolkit. We need a toolkit for life, but being a parent also needs a toolkit. And it doesn't mean being your parent, your kid's best friend.
No.
Because now you're scared to parent because, you know, maybe you're divorced and now you know, you don't want your kid to hate you and all of this. So now you don't parent at all. It's like, read books, watch shows, read podcasts about what can you do when your kid needs help in whatever ways that they need assistance.
I don't like these kids of today that are calling their parents by their names. I have a problem with that. That deserves a smack. There's only, you know, one option to call dad and one option to call mom. That's just, there is no name calling. I'm not going to be your friend, right? I'm your dad. I'm your mom, whatever it is.
I felt like that too.
You got a lot of kids being raised that way where they want to speak to them at their level. Mm-hmm. They want to discuss things as adults. And I was like, yeah, you're just priming for problems. That's all you're doing here at this point.
Another aspect to the parenting that I changed too was that for me, if I challenged anything, it was shut down. It was like, because I said so, right? That was the parenting. No, why? Because I said so. It was just like, there was no reason behind it. Why are you telling me I can't go to the party? Why are you telling me I can't go on that date? Why are you telling me that? It was always like, no, why? Because I said so. I'm like, I'm not doing that. That the underlying reason why, for example, when my kids wanted to sleep over at someone else's house and they said, why can't I sleep there? It wasn't because I said so. There's a reason behind why I said that they couldn't. And I said, the reason is because mommy loves you so much and I want to protect you. And I don't know those parents. And that at the time, maybe in my child who has a limited perspective of the world and the dangers of this world, thinks, well, no, it'd be fine for me to sleep at my friend's house. But me as an adult, I know that if I don't know that family, that I'm not going to allow my kids to sleep at someone else's house who I don't know what could happen. And now as an adult, I hear lots of stories that from my friends of them sleeping at like friends' houses and inappropriate things happening. So as a kid, they just like, why can't I sleep at my friend's house? And it's like, because mommy's trying to protect you because I don't know the family or whatever. Then as I grew older, now I understand why my parents said no, no, no. But they could have explained that to me, because at the time, I just took it always as like a slam to me, that it was somehow that it was knocking me from being like the person that I wanted to be, or from expressing my independence. So I didn't internalize it well. And I didn't want my kids thinking that I was denying them the fun things that they wanted to do just because I was saying no. No, there was a reason behind, and it, the reason was always me loving and trying to protect them from harm.
But they realized that later on in life.
And they realized it at the, where they didn't have resentment because they knew that it was coming from a place of love and not a place of power and authority.
Yeah.
Right? Even though my father was loving me when he said no, I didn't internalize it like that. I internalized it as he's the big boss. Don't question me. And you're just a little kid. And it was like, well, like, why can't you explain to me? And all I wanted to do was why? It was like, no. So there were aspects, right, that I wanted to change. And I did research. I did reading. I watched shows. I did, like, I went to seminars. I did a lot. And to say, as an educator, there was a lot that I knew already that I wanted to show up as the best parent that I could and to be, and to change the things that I didn't appreciate in the parenting of my, of like, my parents.
I still remember the last time that my dad smacked me because I was a little taller than him and then he smacked me and it didn't faze me. It didn't move me. It didn't push me. And he finally realized that this son now, it doesn't hurt him anymore. And that was the last time. I still remember that day vividly. How old were you? I was 18.
I was 19.
I was 18 years old and I was towering him. He wasn't a big man. He was like 5'3". And then I was working with him, did something stupid, and then he smacked me. Like instinctively just smacked me, right?
Yeah.
And then it was just like, it didn't feel it. And I looked at him, neither one of us said a word, but he realized that that's not going to change anything anymore now. Yeah. That's done, right? Yeah. So, and then we went right back to work and just continued doing the work. Simple as that. But that was the last time that he did that.
Yeah, and I was 19. I'm like, that's why I was going to show up different. I was like, there's no way. That was upsetting at 19 years old. But that was all my mom knew. That was all they knew.
That's how they, okay, back to the kids going into the woods. How about if they're adults? What if you send the adults out there, the men, the dads to go out in the woods for a week and see what happens if they come by, if they can survive out there? The men would be up for it. They'd be getting ready, bringing all the guns, bringing everything, and they just go survive in Pioneer Village or something like that, right? I think there's lessons there. I think there's life lessons there to learn, right? Or will they just get like 20 feet into the forest and just pitch camp, drink beers, and stay there for a week, and that's it, done? And if some rodent comes by that becomes food, then great.
Which generation of men are you talking about?
I don't know.
Too?
I'm talking about my generation. I don't know if they would totally do that. Have a men's week of just disappearance.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think we're not celebrating men enough. Every time I've been watching some new shows on Prime. So I've been watching Tulsa Kings. I've been watching Landman.
Landman's a great show.
Yeah, good one too.
I like his little nuances of life. Mm-hmm. I like that he can't stand EVs and climate change and all this crap. And
Lots of good info in there. Yeah,
he educates a lot of people on the realities of things.
Yeah.
That's what I do like about it.
Yellowstone, I just finished watching Yellowstone. There's a whole bunch of shows we caught yesterday. There was like some lumberjack shows, like something Titans. And it's these lumberjacks that are out in the middle of nowhere cutting big trees for like, because wood pays, and helicopters, and it was very cool. Anyways, again, male dominated, right? There's a whole bunch of like male centric shows. And I've heard some narratives on social media around, oh, we don't like women, right? And we don't need men anymore. And I feel like a lot of media is also propagating this idea that we don't need men. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, many industries out there that are all male-centric industries, so likely, if you watch Landman, I'm like, here are men doing jobs that women are not willing.
They'll never do them.
Right? And I'm like, why are you saying that we don't need men? I'm like, this is a terrible narrative. And you in construction to say, right? Is it what percentage of men? 98%, you said? 95%?
I just know that if you eliminated women, men would be able to survive. If you eliminated men, I don't think women would be able to survive. Just in general, as a blanket statement.
And why aren't we celebrating that? We should be celebrating that.
Because the three letters, DEI, It's just because everybody wants to be equal and all this other crap. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm still, I'm of the mindset that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. It's as simple as that. You know, women are excelling at certain things that men don't excel at, and men excel at things that women don't excel at. Two of them together is great. The two correct ones together is amazing. But to have this hatred between, and I think that there's a lot more hatred towards men than there is men towards women.
Yeah.
Because I think men know that we could survive without, but women, they'll publicly say they can survive without, but they privately can't. I'm sorry, they can't. And I've seen, and people have shared all kinds of videos with me about women trying to do their own DIY projects in the house and things go wrong. And then we get a little chuckle out of it. And I'm like, I get it. I understand it. But men do take the shittiest jobs out there.
Yeah. And we should be celebrating each other instead of putting each other down.
I agree.
I just wanted to say I've appreciated those shows for showing the...
Bringing it back.
And for showing aspects of, you know, various trades and industries that are being like run and that it sustains other systems, that it all trickles down from, like, you know, some kind of work that's getting done where people are getting, risking their lives, getting dirty, doing it so that people can have the, like, luxuries, and they don't even recognize that it was because, you know, people are getting dirty and people are in really dangerous positions doing their work so that they can help the rest of humanity.
I think if you were to have like a list of things to go and accomplish and just disappear, I guess the go-to is some sort of resort vacation or a cruise vacation, and you go off as a couple and you do that. I understand all that stuff. But I think if you were to add more into that mix and go, listen, here's an option to go drive a 1,000 horsepower vehicle over the salt flats. Or go into the woods and live out in the woods for a week, let's say, and go hunting. But you're not necessarily a hunter. You don't want to kill an animal or whatever, but you want to be hanging out and just talking with nature. Right? Have those Bambi moments and start speaking to animals out there all by yourself. I think a lot of men would choose those kinds of types of getaways just for clarity. Mm. Just to be like, me personally, I would love to be in a vehicle that's going over the salt flats, going 100,000 kilometers, and just experiencing what that feels like. And then coming back and going, yeah, that was amazing. And then you would encourage other people to do the same thing, right? If I was financially set, I'd be on Virgin Galactic and coasting the stratosphere and enjoying weightlessness there. Like, I mean, that's sure, but I don't know many women that want to do those kinds of things.
Well, everybody's going to find whatever, again, is in their happiness toolkit, yes. Right? Whatever it is, I want people to find what that is for them, because, and to make time and to schedule it in, because they won't get done because we are so busy and we have so many things that we need to get, like, to do. And we need to schedule it in time.
I guess yesterday would have been the one day that you hear the comment, one day or day one, 1,000 times yesterday. Huh? You try to sell people to join the gym and accomplish those resolutions. You know the one, eh?
Yeah.
One day or day one. Which one is it going to be? One day or day one?
Hmm.
It should be more like one day or day 1,000, because you got to get past 21 or 28 days before you can actually say, yeah, one day or day one. I don't care about day one. It's just you got to get to day 1,000.
And as you were saying, every day could be a day one.
Yeah, right? That's why I've never understood the January 1st crap. I never got that. And same with the polar, that when they jump in the lake and shit like that, that's always on January 1st or 2nd. I think it's on the 1st, whatever. You can do that any day. You can do that. You can find a cold body of water, and you can right now in Canada find a cold body of water and jump right into it. So that could be any day in the winter days, right? So I just think that people don't need a calendar day to go do things. It should just be like, if you wake up, and like you said on previous shows, you wake up with a different mindset. Don't look at the device and you wake up with like, today's going to be a great day. What am I going to do today? And think about some of the days in your past that you achieved amazing things and you decided to do amazing things that day, whether it was a wedding day, the day of your child being born, or if it was a bachelor party, whatever it was, right? The day that you got your first car, the day that you crashed your first car, all that shit. Like, you can plan those moments and continue planning those moments, right? Mm-hmm. And I think more and more people, men and women, should be coming up with, okay, what do we do in January? What do we do in February? What do we do in March? And then all of a sudden you got 12 amazing one days that you've did over a course of 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go through the whole year and not do a single thing other than what you've been doing mm-hmm. since day one.
It's a choice.
Totally.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share?
No, I think that was good.
That was great. What are your resolutions? I don't have any. I told you that I don't have any. Did you make any? You can share. You don't have to share them.
My resolutions would be to do some of the things that I didn't accomplish last year. So I would like to finish my PhD this year. I would like to do that. I need to schedule it in. I need to, because I'm in the writing phase now. And the writing phase is really hard because to say, if you write a book, you can just write down everything you know. In a dissertation, you have to, you write down what you know, but you have to cite it all.
You have to research it.
I was like, where, how do you know that, Teresa? How do you know that? So I can't just say, I know that. I know, how do you know that? And I have to find articles. I have to find other dissertations. I have to find, everything has to be cited. That's the part. So like getting one page of writing done takes hours because nearly every single sentence has to get referenced to, like, you know, some reputable source of, you know, how do you know that? So it takes,
how long have you been working on it?
4 years. So I finished all the coursework and I'm at the writing, and the writing, it takes time to get into that space to be able to, like, but, you know, okay, now you're here and present. And then again, everything has to be cited. So I would really, and I have to schedule it in. I wasn't successful last year. I said the same thing. In January, I said, like, every Monday and Friday, I'm going to do it. And then Monday, I filled up with other things. And Friday, the same thing. And then it didn't get done. So this year, I have to be more rigid and stringent with, like, Monday, nothing gets scheduled except for, like, that's what I'm doing. And hopefully I can do that, like, twice a week. And that's the only way that it's going to get done. It has to get scheduled, as I was saying. The things that you want, you have to pencil them in. Otherwise, that time gets filled with something else. So that would be my number one goal this year, would be doing that.
I could see it being done.
And trying to clean up my eating a little bit more.
Clean up your eating?
A little bit more. Ways, a little bit more. Like, a little bit more.
No more sweets?
Yeah, a little less sweets. And a little more fruits and vegetables. Yeah. That's not hard. Two things.
No, that's pretty reasonable.
Well,
good luck with it.
Thanks.
Okay, that's it. We'll see you next on another show.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Teresa. We're out of here.